We have been teaching on a series entitled The Last Adam, The Dominion Restore. But I want to deviate a little bit today and I want to go in a different direction. Just feel sort of led to do this. Maybe it's God, maybe it's me. I don't know. You know, because if it was God, I would say it was God. You see, God spoke to me. But I can't say that He spoke to me and said to do this. I just sort of feel impressed. So sometimes you can be in tune with the Spirit of God and it's not like the audible voice. It's just God moving you. You follow me? I feel it's in line with the Word. So I felt I just want to share this with you. John chapter 10 and Ephesians 4. I've been sort of entitled this and I was just thinking about it just a moment ago. So we're going to go with the Spirit of God. I don't have any notes on this. It's in my heart, but I don't have any notes on it, you know. All right, just want to let you know. Ephesians chapter 4, is that all right with you?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 4. And I've entitled this, What is a Pastor? Ephesians chapter 4. I taught a class in the School of Ministry. For those of you that don't know, I used to be the dean of the School of Ministry that we had. And that school trained people going into ministry. And people would always come and they felt they had a call of God on their life to teach and to minister to others and really wanted to do the work of God. So one of this particular class called pastoral ministry, they would think, well, that's a class that deals with just, you know, what a pastor does. That was their understanding of it as they read it in the curriculum. But the course of pastoral ministry had to do with the heart of the shepherd, because everyone is called by the chief shepherd. Whether or not you're an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, you are called by the chief shepherd. He is the one who gives the instructions and the orders for someone to go and take care of his sheep. Are you with me? The Bible uses the term sheep and shepherd. And really, when you study the nature of a sheep and you study the nature of a shepherd, you can understand why God would use this term. It's all throughout the Bible. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Is that right? And that was the reason that God would use those terms. I mean, the Holy Spirit used those terms. But God had to use things that people could relate to. And he's speaking to a culture that was agrarian in nature and understanding. So he reached into that culture and he pulled something out that would identify him with what they had already seen on an ongoing basis. Well, they were farmers and so forth, and so they would automatically be able to comprehend what it meant to be a shepherd and a sheep. So David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The reason that I won't want is because the Lord is my shepherd. And all throughout the Bible, God speaks in those terms. Now, getting back to this about the class, so people would come and they wanted to be a shepherd, but they didn't have the heart of the shepherd. See, if you don't understand the nature of the heart of the shepherd, you can't understand a shepherd being very watchful for things that come against the sheep. The nature of a shepherd's heart is that I'm going to protect the sheep. So whatever rises up to try to devour the sheep has a problem with me, or has a problem with the shepherd. Are you understand what I'm saying? So as you understand this about a shepherd's heart, or someone who's been called to be a shepherd, and the word shepherd, so that I can make my terms clear, like I said, I didn't have my notes, right? I'm just kind of going by the Spirit. The word shepherd or the word pastor that we see in the New Testament is really the word shepherd. It comes from a Greek word. The word is poimen. P-O-I-M-E-N. That's the word in the Greek language. It's poimen. And it's a translation of the original word to shepherd. And when a person is called to be a shepherd, they're called to feed, to protect, to watch over, and to care for. That's their nature. That's what they're called to do. So God, if He calls a person to ministry, their heart's going to have be a heart like His heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And as I go through some of the scriptures, you're going to see why I'm saying what I'm saying. Well, often people would come to the ministry and ministry school and they were called to ministry, but they wanted to keep their own heart. Amen. They want to keep their own heart. They want to do it their way. They didn't want God to work on their heart so that they can minister with God's heart to God's people. They want to keep their own heart and then operate in the ministry. You're not going to be able to do that. You have to allow God to first work on your heart so that your heart can line up with God's heart. Then you can minister to God's people. Many people don't know that. All they know is what they see standing in the pulpit. So they might follow someone who is operating in the office of pastor but does not have a pastor's heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that's happened to a lot of people. That's why they turn off of church. They have someone in the pulpit who does not have the anointing to be in the office of the pastor. That's a calling. That's not a choosing. If you're in ministry, you are called to be in ministry. You don't choose the ministry. And there will be a difference between a person who's called to ministry and a person who's chosen the ministry. Maybe you need to go back in your own Christian walk or your own church life and see, did I send it or a call man or someone who called himself? There are characteristics found in the Bible. We're going to go through them as much as we can today to show you this is what the heart of the shepherd is about. Because it's going to be just like the Lord's heart. And when you understand, you know, my pastor was Dr. Price, he has a heart of a shepherd. And he does not allow foolishness from the wolves. You know, people who want to come in and fleece the sheep, mislead the sheep, cause the sheep to go down the wrong direction in teaching or lifestyle or whatever, he's not about that. He's, as used an expression in the street, he's deaf on that. Now, if you don't understand that, you might get upset. But he's not trying to please you. And no shepherd should try to please the flock. The shepherd, whoever that person may be, has to please God. And if you study about sheep, sheep are dumb. Now, I'm not, God used the term sheep. I'm just saying what God said. So that you don't think that I'm trying to elevate myself above anybody. I'm a sheep. In the sheepfold of God. He just called me to be a shepherd as an under-shepherd. So we're all, if you would, in that sense, we need a shepherd, according to God. And most sheep don't, you know, they will follow, but you have some stiff-necked sheep. Wayward sheep. All right, and the job of the shepherd is to correct where the sheep are going. Now, in this analogy, there were sheep, or there were shepherds that owned the sheep, and there were shepherds who were under-shepherds for people who own the sheep. Well, Dr. Price and I are under-shepherds. The one who owns the sheep is God. Is that right? Now, he tells us how to, what? Lead the sheep. Knowing that some sheep will follow willingly, and some sheep will go their own way. But the shepherd still loves the sheep, so he'll leave the 99 at times and he'll go and get the one. Amen. Take it, make sure the 99 is fine, and then he'll what? Go and get the one. Some of you sheep, you know, you're okay. You're flowing real good. You got the word going. You want to go from journey to, you want to step to the next lesson. Go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, pastor. But the shepherd will say, I hear you, you're doing fine, but there's a couple over there that I have to go in and minister to. Well, I can't understand where. Let them get in line. Why don't they just believe like I believe? You didn't always believe. Somebody, by the Spirit of God, shepherded you. So, 99, just be cool for a minute. Let me go and take care of the one. Oh, y'all don't hear that, huh? We're talking about what is a pastor but from the standpoint of the Bible. So anyway, getting back to our story, that, you know, there are people that would come to school and I said, okay, well, you're called to ministry? Yes, I'm called to ministry. Then are you willing to lay down your life for the sheep? If I got a shepherd's heart, I'm willing to lay down my life for the sheep. Now, my life being laid down in the sense, Jesus already paid the price. So I can't, it's not talking about me dying in that sense, because only one death paid the price for our sins. But the heart of the shepherd is going to be one who's willing to minister to the sheep.
Amen.
Find out what it is that the sheep need. Well, the chief shepherd, what do you want, baby? fix me. Hey, shepherd needs a fixer. Praise God. Amen. What was I saying now?
The
99 be cool. Take care of the one. I said that. Lay down your life. That's right. So only Jesus died for the sheep. He died for us, all of us. But if you're going to serve in ministry, you have to serve with the same heart. Human helps ministry people. Do you hear me, people who desire to be helps ministry people? Do you hear me, people who are called to the body of Christ? See, we have to go forth ministering with the heart of the shepherd. You know, there's a teaching, well, I'm an evangelist, I just don't have that pastoral heart. Then, did he call you? Because there is a mindset of people, the evangelist has a certain heart, and the prophet has a certain heart, you know, and the apostle has a certain heart. They're all called by the same shepherd, same spirit. Are you with me? And that's going to have a heart of a shepherd. You may have a different assignment, but your heart has to be the same heart. Because the sheep only hear one voice. That's the voice of the shepherd. Are you with me? So as we, you know, once that got into their spirit a little bit in class, I asked them, are you still called? You know, because that was my question. You're called to ministry. Only way people could get into the school was that they had to acknowledge they had a call to ministry. And everybody can talk about a call to ministry in this glamour. You know, people see me and say, oh, pastor's standing before people, you know, he has a pastor's day, people giving into his life and everything. But you don't know what I've been through. So all you see is this year. All you see in Dr. Price, what you see on TV, you don't know what he went through. You don't know the price that had to be paid for ministry. You don't know behind the scenes. God said that if I would leave, and I'm speaking in terms of a person operating a ministry, I'm using myself as an example, but it could be anybody. God says that if you would leave house and home, mother and sister and brother and father, for my sake and the gospel, that in this lifetime, plus the life to come, you will be rewarded abundantly. Well, I took God at his word. I expect it. I expect God to keep his word. Well, sometimes that's all people see is that part. They don't understand the heart, that which God has to work with your heart to make it pliable, to get it through your personality, through your idiosyncrasies of how you like to handle people. Let me go over this side. You might just like to get people off you. Get you a few scriptures. Stand up before people. The word of God is there, but the same personality is there. Same heart there. God hadn't changed the hearts yet. Are you with me? So what I want to share with you some things are some pointers or some things that are found in the scripture so that if you ever leave this church, you'll know what to look for in a pastor's heart. And I want to take you through the scripture so that you could see if you're in the right church today. I'm not holding this church up as, you know, the epitome or whatever it is that, you know, the height. If it's flowing with the things of God and people are being blessed, then it'll be lined up with the Word of God. I'm not exalting it because Dr. Price founded it. I'm not exalting it because I'm the pastor of it. You know, if it's in line with the Word, then praise God, we can follow it. And that's why I always ask people, says, has God led you here? You know, don't come unless God's led you here. I mean, you can come and visit and be a part, but I'm talking about a person who wants to become a member. A person that wants to become a member said, this is where God sent me. This is the sheepfold that I'm supposed to be under. This is where he's called me to be nurtured and be fed. And I'm willing to follow with, if you would, the leadership, because I believe God led me here. Well, and part of that being led here, there's going to be some cultivating. There's going to be some pruning. There's going to be some things that you hear, and God's going to adjust and deal with your own life. Are you with me? So people might need to make some changes. There's some people that haven't decided to come and, let's say, be a part of this church because they're caught up in seeing what they have seen over the years in terms of a pastor, not knowing what the correct heart of a pastor was. They just followed in tradition over and over again. So they'll come to church and it's not done the way it was done before. So they evaluate the pastor based upon what they've seen in the past. They don't evaluate the pastor based upon what they see in the Word. They base it upon what they've seen in the past. There are some people who won't operate in a call of ministry because the only image they have is what they saw in their pastor before. And what they saw in their pastor before, they don't want. So they deduce, if that's what it is to be in ministry, I'm not going. And run from the call of God all their life. Go and use the gifts and talents in the world. Receive a measure of success, but not all that God had for them. Are you with me? So it's important that if you're called, then you know you have to operate in that. You have to teach people so that they can see it and then evaluate if God called you to ministry. If he didn't call you to ministry, don't operate in the call. Just use your gifts and talents wherever God's called you, wherever he's led you. Everybody has a gift and a talent from God. Everybody. Everybody. Some of you think that I don't have any gifts. Yes, you do. God is no respecter of persons. Now, your gift may not be my gift, and my gift may not be your gift, but everybody has a gift. Everybody has a talent. And your prosperity lies in the talent he gave you and the gifting he gave you. And if you will operate in your gifting and your talent, you will have a prosperous life. Prosperous in every area, not just finance. I was using my gifting in the world. Amen. I was using it. I mean, I could do something else. I mean, in terms of in the natural, I could do something else. Was doing something else. But I was using my gifting and talent somewhere else until God, you know, grabbed hold of my heart. And then I could see, you know, well, Lord, I always had these gifts and talents. I was just using them somewhere else. Amen. So when God starts to show you that, then you move in your gifting. And people have been in who were not in ministry, have decided, you know, Lord did call me. I've been running from this. I'm going to move into ministry. And there's some people who've been in ministry who have stepped down and said, God didn't call me. It was just something that I could do and something that it flowed pretty well. And I chose the ministry and I've had a measure of success. But you had no anointing to minister. The gifts and calling of God are without what? Without repentance. So God has to call you to do something. And just if you look throughout the Word, God always calls people to do things. He lets them know if they're called. People ask me when they come to school, when they came to school, well, how would I know if I'm called? I said, well, either God didn't call you, or you need to go back and ask him, did I miss you when you called me? Amen. Because according to the Bible, everybody who was called knew they were called. Is that right? Just do a study for yourself. Start with Genesis. Go all throughout the Bible, and you're going to see every time God calls someone to do something in ministry, When I say ministry, obviously that was the service of the Lord, not ministry in terms of the New Testament church per se, but just ministry throughout on behalf of God or as he called them to do things, they knew. So if you're called to God's ministry, you will know. Amen. And if you don't know, keep praying. Spending time with God until you know that 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 you know. And if you cannot say that and you are in ministry, you perhaps need to step down. You're out of place. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, that doesn't mean that you won't be successful in something else you choose to do or something else that you follow the leading of the Lord. But while you're in one place that God didn't call you, you're not in the place where he did call you. So you can't what? Prosper. Have you noticed that when you see people who were operating in areas that wasn't really their gifting and they stop and say, you know what, that's not what I'm called to do. And they start with something that really is the natural gifting, they just start to blossom. Have you noticed that? Well, that's what it's about. That's what I'm talking about. It's not, you know, mystical or anything like that. You just need to pray and say, Lord, what have you called me to do? What have you called me to do? Are you there in Ephesians?
Yeah.
Chapter 4. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse. Does anybody get anything out of this morning? All right. Jesus is, it's the reference is Jesus, the context is Jesus, and he says, and he himself, verse 11, I'm sorry, gave some to be what? Apostles. Some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and what? Teachers. Well, the word pastor there is the word in the Greek language, poimen. It means to shepherd, to feed, to watch over, to care for. So that term, even though it's pastor here, it does not really give the picture of shepherd. In the Old Testament, the word is used as shepherd, so you can readily identify with it. But the term pastor here could mean anything that you've seen. Anyone who occupies the office of pastor as you see it, if you didn't get this breakdown, you could think, well, here's a person who could just give me the word and not care for me. Because people come with these different backgrounds. You have different people who have stood in the pulpit and occupied the office of pastor. Is that right? So if you don't know what a pastor is called to do, you grow up in an environment, if that person is whoring around, whoring, sleeping with, all the sisters on the front row, all the sisters in the back row, all the sisters on the other side. And that's all you see. When you grow up, looks good to you. Hey, I don't be a pastor. The people in the church that grew up in an environment, that's all they know. So when they think of pastor, they don't think of what I'm describing. Are you with me? You have pastors who won't sleep with somebody in their church, but they'll sleep with somebody in all their friends' church. And the congregation knows it. That's why those kind of pastors don't like to hear from us. And we'll do anything to kind of get you off and turn against and, you know, speaking. But I want to give you what the Word of God says so you can make a choice for yourself. Are you hearing me? Since this is Pastoral Appreciation Day. Amen. So if you call me your pastor, I want you to call me your pastor because you see it in the Word. And you can say, yeah, pastor, you fit the bill. If I don't fit the bill, then say, Lord, maybe that's another place. Are you with me? So a person can grow up, like I say, seeing that and just run away from church. I don't want anything to do with church. Why? Because of the image that was laid before them. or just see the hypocrisy in it and says, I don't want to even be associated with, you know, being called a pastor or a minister. You should see when people ask me what I do, I say, well, I'm a pastor. So, oh, you're one of those. They don't automatically go to, oh, you pray for the people. Oh, you spend your heart trying to give to them all that you've received from God and try to help put their hand in God. You go out to see them when they're sick. You go out to see them when their families are broken with death or whatever situation. They don't see all that. They just, oh, you're the one who takes people's money. Some of y'all may have thought that today. And I'm asking, what did I do wrong? I'm just following what God called me to do. So how do all of a sudden you think I'm a charlatan? Somebody out there must be presenting that message. And you can grow up in an environment like that and not know the difference. Are you with me? So it's important for us to know, well, what is a pastor from the standpoint of God's perspective? So who calls a person, based upon what the New Testament says, who calls a person to be a pastor? Notice what he says that they are to do. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those are three things right off the bat. You already know. Not leading programs necessarily. Not having soup kitchens necessarily. Not being active in curative events necessarily. If that's God called you to do that, it would be secondary. The call to ministry in the equipping of the saints will be primary. Let me say this again so you can understand where I'm going. The call to ministry according to what God called us to do in terms of this office of pastor as well as the other fivefold gifts is for the what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature or perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the primary focus of someone called to ministry. Since he included the pastors in there, I'm just extricating that and just saying, look, this is who the pastor is. That's the primary goal. So if something else starts to supersede the primary goal, the pastor or the minister is out of position. According to what? To the Word of God. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why I'm saying people will sometimes see an individual operating in the office of a pastor, but if we go and check it out with the Word of God, they're not doing what God called them to do primarily. They're using the pulpit as a platform. And if you follow in those footsteps, it's possible you could be led astray. Are you with me? And not grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So if you come to a place where that's the foundation, and you come from a place where that hasn't been the foundation, you're going to measure the new place by the old place. Human nature. And will turn away sometimes from what God has for you because you're measuring it by your previous foundation. Is everybody with me on that? Turn with me to John chapter 10. I tell you I didn't have any notes, sir. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus makes a statement. Actually, we'll start reading at verse 1. Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them what? Out. And he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep what? Follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger. The shepherd speaks. They could be in all kinds of other sheep mixing together, but those sheep that know the voice of the shepherd will start to follow the shepherd. The job of the under shepherd is to give you the voice of the shepherd. I'm an under shepherd, right? My job is to teach you what the Word of God says so that you become familiar with the Word of God and the voice of God, so that when God speaks to you, you can say, that's God. Not when I speak to you, but when God, what, speaks to you. To show you where I got that, I have to go to the Scripture. So you can imagine then, if I spent all my life in my life growing up in a church, and I never was encouraged to study the Scripture, whose voice am I following? Are you with me? We've been teaching on dominion. We've been teaching on prosperity. We've been teaching on knowing the truth and speaking the truth. Some people who haven't heard that, haven't heard the voice that comes out of the book, they think that's strange. Where'd you get that from? I'm asking them, what voice have you been listening to? I'm showing you the chief shepherd's voice right here. You're asking me, where did I get it from? You're saying to me, I never heard that. So my question to you is, what have you been listening to? Are you with me? Jesus said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, he was speaking to the leaders. It's a general statement that we take and we apply to our everyday life, but he was speaking to the leaders. He was saying to the leaders, you see those sheep over there? Yeah, they're perishing. Why? Because they lack knowledge. And you should have given them knowledge. Don't be caught under a shepherd who hasn't given his heart or her heart to the chief shepherd. And you'll know if their heart is for the Lord by what they teach you. And the focus of their teaching is the focus of their teaching, what God called the ministry gifts to do. Is it edifying? Is it building up? Is it equipping? Those are the things that he told us, is it not? All right? Let's continue reading. Verse 7. Then Jesus said to them, again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. What else am I going to teach you other than abundant life? If that's what the chief shepherd came to do, to show you that the stealing, the killing, and the destruction is from the thief, but the abundant life is from him, what am I going to be found saying that stealing and killing and destruction come from him? When he said, it doesn't come from me. What comes from me is abundant life. So my job as an under-shepherd is to teach you about the abundant life that's in Christ. And any person who operates in ministry, that's their job. Amen? Now, the abundant life comes with you submitting your life to Christ, allowing that to change so that you can walk in all that he provided, so that you can look like the sheep of the shepherd. Does anybody know anything about sheep and shepherds? Have you studied it? If you see a sheepfold that's all tagged, ragged, you know, disease-ridden, who are you going to look at? No, aren't you supposed to look at the sheep? You're supposed to look at your sheep. I mean, they're the ones that's diseased. They're the one that's all beat up and everything. Why then do you look at the shepherd? Because the shepherd is the one that's tending to the sheep. Is that right? So now why would we buy into a theology that wants the sheep of the chief shepherd sheepfold sick? And would say it's the shepherd's will that the sheep be sick. The whole nature of the shepherd is to care for the sheep, to make sure that healing is provided for the sheep, to make sure that they lack nothing, to make sure that they lay down in green pastures. Come on, y'all got to hear me. You see what I'm saying? That's the whole focus of the sheep, of the shepherd. So if I look at a sheepfold that's all beaten down, I'm going to not look at the sheep, I'm going to look at the shepherd. Because the chief shepherd, who we all belong to, said, I've come that you might have life. Have it what? More abundantly. Turn with me to one of the Psalms that people always read at memorials. What psalm is that? Psalm 23. Let's see if we can get a better picture of this shepherd. Is anybody getting anything out of this? You sure? All right. You want to stick with me? All right. Psalm 23. See if the Bible explains anything about the shepherd. So, see, these are the things that I do in progression. As I felt God call me to the ministry, I begin to find out, is there anything in the Bible that is objective, not subjective? Subjective is what someone might tell me. Objective is what's found in the scripture that doesn't vary with time. It remains what? The same. Doesn't make any difference who's in leadership or not in leadership. The Bible, what? Remains the same. So I'm called to the ministry. I'm not called by a man. I'm not called by a woman. I'm called by God. So God, did you put anything in here that I can lock into? So that when I stand before the people, I'll be on solid ground. I just don't want to speak what I heard another man speak. I want to speak what you speak. Now, I'll say what another man says as long as what the man says or the woman says is in line with you. David's speaking here. David is speaking as if he's a... No. He's, because David said, the Lord is my... So David could not be speaking at that point as a shepherd. He has to be speaking as a... Is that right? That's the only way he could... He's not speaking as a shepherd. Even though he was a shepherd, he has to be speaking as a sheep. Since he was a shepherd himself, he could identify with the needs of the... Is that right? Everybody knows that David was a shepherd, so he took care of the sheep. That's, you know, we learned that in Sunday school. Now, we're saying, okay, David, why are you singing this song? You're singing this song because you are dealing with something. You are saying, as a sheep, the Lord is my shepherd. So, David, if the Lord is my shepherd... So what? Come on. David, if the Lord is your shepherd, you're saying to us by the Spirit of God, since he is your shepherd, you shall not. Then why do people believe the theology that God wants you with nothing? Somebody stood in the pulpit who was not anointed and told you that. I'm not finished yet. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want because the Lord is my shepherd. So when we come into the house of the Lord, thank you, Lord. You are my shepherd. Your desire is that I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. My Bible says, pastures of tender grass. You know, sometimes we hear stuff, he wants us to lie down, just suffer through it, get ours on the other side, just get whatever you can get down here because the Lord knows how much you can bear, and he's just putting you through it for this time and this season. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord who's my shepherd, Jesus said he's the shepherd, he makes me to lie down. Somehow or another, what I've been hearing and what's been revealed by the Word of God is not the same. Sometimes I'm like, what is a pastor? Because if I don't tie pastor, which means shepherd, to shepherd in the Bible, anyone can come up and tell you anything. My purpose is to unveil what pastor is so that you can see that pastor is shepherd. And shepherd is tied to this. It's tied to Jesus. You see? So anytime someone operates in the office with a pastoral heart, what are they going to be telling you? Well, what are they going to teach you? They can only teach you what the Lord said. And the Lord said, what? The Lord, and I chose this psalm because everybody has it. You have it on a bookmark. You have it on your refrigerator. You have it on that picture that's on the wall. You have it on that Bible verse. You have it on the table somewhere in a little mosaic, little pottery somewhere. Everybody has Psalm 23. It's so funny that they only read it at a memorial. Wonder who devised that plan. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Do you know that if you study sheep, that sheep don't lie down? They don't lie down until they are completely satisfied, free from fear, free from sickness, free from disease, free from want. Go get your book, look up shepherd and sheep, find out when do sheep lie down. So if the Bible says that because the Lord is my shepherd, he causes me to lie down, he's metaphorically saying something to me. Cause you to lie down in what? Green pastures. Lie down is not death. He's talking about now. We're going to finish reading the psalm and you're going to see when death comes in. This is not the death part of it. Death is. And I will live in the house of the Lord for... That's the death part. This is the right now part. Lie down in green pastures. Who's causing him to do that? Notice how the scripture reads. It says, he makes me. He causes me is the way it reads really in the original Hebrew. He causes me by his actions, by his care, to what? To lie down. So that when someone looks at the sheepfold and says, woo, who's taking care of those sheep? If I would put the blame on the shepherd for a depleted, broken down, sick and diseased sheep and say it's because of the shepherd, when there's a sheepfold, when they're walking in prosperity, walking in health, walking in peace, walking in love and lying down, who gets that glory? I'm trying to find out then, if a church follows what the Lord said they should follow, why are they called a cult? I'm just asking the question based upon what I see in the Bible. Because all I'm saying, I said, well, Lord, if I'm looking for a sheepfold that you got your eye on, that you're taking care of, I'm looking for one that is lying down, green pastures. One that, let's see, what else did he say about it? He causes me, he leads me beside what? Still waters. The reason that it's still waters is because the sheep don't go to waters that are running, because if they go to waters that are running, they get caught up in their fur or in their wool, and their wool becomes waterlogged. If they get waterlogged, they drown. So the waters have to be still because sheep are skittish. And if the water is rushing, they won't drink. If they don't drink, they're going to die of dehydration. All this is because of the Lord is my, I shall not. He restores. My soul is run when I'm anxious, when I'm all beaten down and I'm all, you know, fretful. He said, be anxious for nothing. I'm the shepherd. I got you. I got you. The shepherd is restoring my soul. But I've been in places where I've been taught that the shepherd wants you to go through this to teach you something. I'm trying to figure out what's in line, what's what not in line, because I really want to follow the shepherd. I want to, you know, be in a place where I can hear the voice of the shepherd. Because faith comes by hearing by. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his what? Name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This can't be talking about death when he calls it the shadow of death. So if it's the shadow of death, why do I only read the psalm when someone's died? It plainly says here, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Wait a minute, Lord. Hold on a second. You're using this metaphor of sheep and shepherd. So I did some research on sheep, Lord. I found out the sheep is probably the most fearful animal known to man. Skittish. So that's the nature of a sheep. So if you're going to use the metaphor, it has to line up. If you're going to teach the truth has to be consistent in nature. Does it not? The nature of the sheep would have to be what you're teaching. You're saying that these sheep are not afraid. And the nature of a sheep is to be afraid. So why are the sheep not afraid? It's right here. What's the next verse say? For thou art what? God calls us sheep. Is that right? Does he not? Then he says to us who are sheep, fear no evil. Be anxious. Why? For I'm with you. Though you walk through the valley, fear no
evil.
For I am. What else am I going to teach you other than what the shepherd is teaching? Are you hearing what I'm saying? For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, this, you have to know something about a shepherd and sheep. The reason that he carried a rod and a staff is so that he could ward off the wolves. And if you got caught in a problem, he'd use his staff to pick you up, not put you down. Had a hook on it. For what purpose? They would get caught in rocks so that the shepherd would go and find the one that got caught in the rocks while the 99 were eating in the green pasture.
You know, they didn't in the green pasture, but there's one caught on the rocks. But since the sheep over there are 99, they're only concerned about... Shepherd's concerned about the... Because the shepherd's concerned about all the sheep. That's why when we come together as a church setting, how can you speak down about your brother and your sister? How can you be backbiting? How can you lie? How can you be, you know, all those kinds of things and petty jealousies? God said, what's with that? That's why we welcome the people. Come in, you're welcome in this house. Not, what are you doing in this house? You prepare a table before me in the presence. You prepare a table for me in the presence. You prepare a table for me in the presence. So I expect, even though I got enemies around me, I expect the Lord's preparing a table for me. That's what my faith is. Because that's what he's revealed. That's his heart. You see, he's revealing his heart. How would David know this? God had to have spoken to him, ministered to him, so that God left it in his book. Are you following me? Thou preparest a table for me where? In the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with what? Oil. My cup runs over. This is in the context of sheep and shepherd, right? So to really understand the full background, we have to know something about the background of a sheep and a shepherd as they walk in daily life. Would you agree? So what did the oil mean to the shepherd? The oil meant to the shepherd, it was like a healing balm. The shepherd would prepare a healing balm. So at times the sheep would get snake bit, or they would cut themselves on rocks, or they would have insects that would come and infest their eyes and nose. And the shepherd who was looking out went about putting oil on them to bring about healing. Oh, y'all not listening to me? That's why the Bible says, with Jesus' stripes, I was healed. He anointed my head with oil. He came looking for me. What's wrong? Do you need anything? If you find yourself sick in the church, call for the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on you. Pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord shall raise them up. That's the job of the shepherd. Some people don't pray for the sick. What's wrong with you? When the shepherd said to do it, how dare you say I won't pray for the sick? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of us grew up in that. My cup runs over. What cup? What cup are you talking about? It's kind of hard at times to find water. So the shepherd would always have a bag of water. He would always have something that he carried water with. So when he found the sheep thirsty, he would pour water in a cup, and the sheep could drink as long as they wanted because the cup runneth over, and whatever I need, I can have it. Just drink as long as you need to drink. What else am I going to teach you? He's come to give you life. And give it to you what? More abundantly. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If he's talking about life, this cannot be applied to death. Follow me what? All the days of my life. That's why I'm blessed. By faith, I'm blessed. By faith, I'm the head, not the tail. By faith, I'm above and not beneath. By faith, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By faith, all my needs met. I know that's his will. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me what? All the days of my life. And when my life ends, Come on now. Where my life ends, this life that you now see, I will dwell. Come on now. In the house of the Lord forever. I'm getting a picture of the shepherd. So if I get a picture of the shepherd, I know the shepherd's voice. So if the shepherd assigns an under-shepherd, I'll know his voice. Because the under-shepherd is only supposed to speak what the shepherd speaks. Are you with me? Problem is, most people have not seen the shepherd. That's why they can't lift their hands. That's why they can't praise God. You know, because they got a caricature of who the shepherd is. They think the shepherd's taking the water away from them, giving them sticks and stubbles to lie down in, just let them settle with for it, disease and everything, because that's his will. So, I mean, they want to follow the shepherd, but they've been told something different about the shepherd, and since they've never studied it for themselves, they're perishing. So God begins to speak to a shepherd and says, I need you to go to New York. Wait. He speaks to, not understand, he speaks to a man. He said, I want you to go on TV. In the five major cities I want you to go to, I want you to go to New York, Chicago, Detroit, Washington, and L.A. I want you to go there because they need to know about the shepherd. Then years later, now that you've gone on TV, I want you to go establish a church there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What are you going to teach them when I get there, Lord? Teach them what I taught you. Teach them about me. Teach them that I'm the good shepherd, that I've come to give them life and give them to them what? More abundantly. What is a pastor? He's a shepherd with God's heart. I'm out of time. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. 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 Thank you, Lord God. We praise you. We magnify you, Father. You love us. You care for us. Praise God. Praise God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's leaving except those who may have emergencies.